Did you or did you not say four verses? Okay. Well, that's why, you know, Boy Scouts teach men to be prepared. Okay, so. And we're glad you were. All right, tonight, last Sunday night, last Sunday night, we were looking at Noah making preparation for the flood. And his family was making preparation for the flood, and he was telling people that there would be a flood. And so as we come to these chapters, which will be chapters 7 and 8 tonight, there is actually a great deal for us to see. I hope that you, more than just read the Bible daily, I hope that as you read it, you think about what it's telling us, what it's trying to tell you, but that you take time to also sometimes read commentaries about the Bible, because a lot of times we don't think of some of the things that other men who have spent their lives studying the Bible think about. They are working in the original languages. They see things we don't see in the English language. And so they share those things with us. And most of these men, I mean, the good commentators, are good men. They're godly men. And if you don't take time to read what others think about a passage, you may miss something that would be a great blessing to you. I read a lot of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was a Bible commentator in the 1600s. And he had quite an outlook, and a very different outlook on a lot of what is going on in the Word of God, because God gave him a special ability to visualize Scripture. And for example, in the opening chapter 7 of Genesis, let's share an allegorical perception. Okay? That means let's look at a different picture of the truths that we see there. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, Matthew Henry sees this a little differently than what you probably perceived, and let me share with you some of what he has thought. Let me read that verse again. Listen to the verse. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. God the Father, according to Matthew Henry, acts like a farmer, calling his chickens into the hen house when he knows that there is a storm coming. See that picture? Farmer out calling the chicks in. Here, chick, 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 chick. Calling them into the hen house so they'll be safe. Because he sees the sky getting black. And he can see that windrow in front. So it's not just his chickens, but all of the livestock on the farm is being called in to keep them safe. What a picture of the ark. I've never pictured it that way till I started reading Matthew Henry and how he presented this. We see an ark, we see Noah build a big boat, and we see them get in, we see all the animals, but God is calling them all into this. It was just like that when I grew up on the farm. When it was time to milk the cows, we went out to the back door of the barn, here, boss, come, boss, come, boss, come, boss, and boy, the cows come trotting up there because they're ready to be milked twice a day. And They would come, be milk, and you see God was calling, and he was calling ahead because he wanted to preserve Noah and his family, as well as the other animals and creatures that had been created. What a picture. It's not just that ark sitting there. It's God calling everyone into it. Come on, folks. Time to get in. Yep, big barn. We're going to see if we can't go up there sometime in May. All right? We're going to go up as a group in May. Also in March, I want you to know about this. We have a set of special services scheduled for the third week in March. They begin March 19th, 18th or 19th. They'll last for a week. We have an evangelist coming with his family. For you ladies, a heads up, 7 children. What's that?
Missionary?
No. This is not a missionary. This is an evangelist. And we're going to have special meetings in March, the third week in March. So God wanted, waited patiently for Noah and his sons to complete the ark, 100 years. He had instructed them to gather all the food that the occupants of the ark would need, and that took time. And what was the purpose of the ark? The purpose of the ark was to preserve the lives of what had been created. And because God is omniscient, he knew how long they would be in the ark. Even Noah didn't know that when he entered it. I marvel at the submissiveness of Noah. We're not told about the sons or the wives inquiring about who was going to take care of all those animals, feeding them, cleaning up after them. Most of them had to be watered every day. There was a lot of work, a lot of work. And there's something very special that I want you to see in just a few minutes. I'll alert you when we come to it. But for now, just picture God tucking away all the ones that he wanted to preserve in that ark. Get on in there. Genesis 7, 2 and 3. Of every clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Now look at verse 2 very carefully. Do you see that phrase, thou shalt take? What it is saying is, you shall receive. You shall receive. Not, Noah didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to go out and round up the animals. All he had to do was receive them. God moved the animals to come to him. They didn't have to round them up. All the animals and the critters were going to be on the ark. God was going to send them to him. He didn't have to call one. And because God was going to send them, just the right number would come. This is pretty fantastic. It's not just something that just happened in history, but it's pretty fantastic what happened, the way it happened. He was going to send exactly the number that they needed, set by sevens for the clean, by twos for the unclean. Genesis 7, 4 and 5. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. 7 days, he had a 7-day warning. Okay, Noah, time for you to get on the ark. And Noah, you're going to be busy these 7 days because I'm starting to send animals to you. Ants crawling up the gangway. Yes. Only certain animals are able to be sacrificed to God in a way of a offering for sin. It was the goat, the ox, or cow, the sheep, or the lamb. And those were the only ones that were really clean. To be clean, they had to divide the hoof and chew the cud. And if it did that, there's a lot of animals that chew the cud, but they don't divide the hoof. Their hoof is round. One piece. And so God told them what would be clean animals and unclean. Now, there's a reason that God set it up this way. Number one, he wanted man to follow his instructions. Why do you tell your children what they are to do? Because you have nothing else to talk about, so you just talk, right? Because they totally ignore you anyway. Okay? So anyway, God made two kinds, clean and unclean. Not that they were physically unclean, but in the sight of God, they were not worthy of being sacrificed for sin. And you will see at the end of this why he designated it that way. Okay, for 7 days, and I'll cross, okay, so he had a 7-day warning. Noah didn't question God. Noah was just as submissive to God's commands. What God told him to do, he did. In our Wednesday night Bible study, Shirley used a word. You remember what that word was, Shirley? We wound up talking about it a little bit. Submissive, okay? I think that it had a lot to do with Noah's being able to walk with God. I think he was submissive. And if you want to be able to walk with God, you're going to have to be submissive also. And the problem with all of us is that we're not submissive enough because we have our own will. It's built into our wicked hearts. We have our own thing that we want to do or that we want to accomplish. We set our own goals, and they may not be God's goals. I think Noah was very submissive to God, and I think that's the reason that he walked with God. I think that's the reason that Enoch was able to walk with God, is because he was completely submissive also. Well, the believers to walk with God. Noah walked with God. And as a result of that, his family had first-class accommodations on the ark, okay? Didn't have to go tourist class. He went first class. Had his own residence, as you will see when we get up there to look at it. Quite a fantastic setup. Genesis 7, 6 through 9. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that were not clean, and of fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah unto the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Noah had nothing to do with what showed up. He just let them in. You see that Noah obeyed and God did all the work. The animals and the creeping things all went in to Noah and his family. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I think that they probably all went into their own stalls and cages. I think they entered the ark and they knew exactly where to go. You will see when you get there. 450 feet is a very large piece of construction. And there were places for each one. And they went to their own places. Genesis 7, 10 through 16. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, unto the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. What a statement. What a type of Christ. They were being saved from the rest of the earth, really from the universe, by God himself. God himself shut them in. No one saved you but Jesus Christ. No one saved you but God. No one worked in you to convict you and to work in your heart but the Holy Spirit of God, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. They were the ones who reached you. And this is a picture of this taking place, this very thing. God didn't have to force any. He didn't use a cattle prod. Noah just stood back and his family. I don't know if they stood in the door of the ark. It was large. You'll see. But there was a ramp up the whole side of the ark, starting at one end and going up to almost to the other end. And the animals just walked on up that ramp and through the doorway at the second story and into the ark. Some of them went downstairs. Some of them went upstairs. Amazing. Just cockroaches, beetles, flies, mosquitoes, chickens, quail. Nobody got stepped on the ramp. I mean, it was just organized. God organized this whole filling of this huge ship. He did it all. Noah was 100 years old and when he and his family entered the ark. Notice the date, because it will be important later on. How many of you know, right now, how long Noah was in the ark? You'll know before we get done tonight, okay? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. Notice the date, the second month and the 17th day of the month. Now, that may not seem important now, but if you want to know how long they were in the ark, you'll need to know when they came out. One other thing that was a type of Christ, the ark was a type of Christ to Noah and to all these animals. God closed the door to the ark. No one else could do it. It had to be closed from the outside. And there was nobody out there to close it other than God. Genesis 7, 17 through 20. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven, all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. It was not a local flood. It was worldwide. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now, there are those who claim the flood was just local at the time. They were wrong, since the Bible says the mountains were covered. In verse 19, we're clearly told that everything under the whole heaven was covered. We're told that everything was covered with water. Genesis 7, 21 through 24. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man in all those nostrils whose breath of life was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. They were all destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. That doesn't end it. In verse 21, do you see that word all, referring to every living animal upon the face of the earth? They all died. Some of you have grown tomatoes, and every once in a while you will find a tomato worm on your tomatoes having supper. They love the leaves. In fact, as the season gets a little further along, they love the tomatoes. And are you real fond of them? Well, don't forget, tomato worms crawled up that plank also. Every creature upon the face of the earth entered that ark. The things you don't like, some of the things you don't like, some of the things you do, God preserved all of creation in that one vessel. Genesis 7, day 8, Genesis 8, 1 through 3. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. The earth was not dry at this point. The waters began to evaporate and began to dry off. When the Bible says that God remembered Noah and the others, that does not mean that God had forgotten them. He knew what was going on in that ark. He knew the whole time. And it means that he took further notice of them. God knew what was going on the entire time that they were in that ark. Genesis 8, 4 through 9. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark, unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her in and pulled her in unto him and to the ark. So remember, when Noah had made the ark, there was a window from one end to the other on the very top of the ark. And it was through that window that he sent out the raven. It was through that window that he sent out the dove. The dove looked around and there was no place for her. So here was the one piece of dry ground, or something dry, where she could land, was the ark. So she went back. He took her in. The earth was still covered with water. The bubble of water around the earth, that was part of what collapsed to cause the rain. That was part of what collapsed to cause the worldwide flood. To add to it, it needed a lot of water, and that had a lot of water. The fountains of the deep had bubbled up to produce enough water to cover all of the earth. Remember at the time that the earth was composed of one continent, one body of land, and the rest of it was covered with water. So there had to be enough water coming in to cover that one continent that existed at that time. It was until later that a vision of the continents does not take place until after chapter 10 in Genesis. It takes place in chapter 10, actually chapter 10, verse 25, where it tells us, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." So Noah was checking to see if there was a dry place, dry enough for them to disembark upon. There was not. Genesis 8, 10 through 14. "And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth." Now, you and I, at this point, would have run and jumped off. Noah didn't. Noah was submissive to God. He didn't do a thing that God did not tell him to do. Look at this. Verse 12. "And he stayed yet 7 days, and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 600th, and first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry." He still didn't jump off. "And in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, was the earth dried. Finally, the earth was dry." But did you notice that Noah didn't rush out of the ark? God had shut the door to the ark, but Noah could have opened it, but he didn't. He waited totally upon God to give him his instructions. Genesis 8, 15 through 19. "And God spake to Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl that whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark." Noah was in the ark 1 year and 10 days. 1 year and 10 days. You think you get cabin fever after a week? The ark didn't even have windows except for across the top of it. Now, how would you have done for 1 year and 10 days shut up with all that livestock? Noah had worshiped God the whole time. The whole time they were in that ark, Noah worshiped God. I want you to see what he did as he got off that ark. Most of us would have kissed the ground, dry ground when we got out. I've seen people get off airplanes and kiss the dry ground. They're so glad to be back in the U.S. Noah did what he had been doing in the ark with one exception. Noah had not made any sacrifices aboard the ark. Now he made sacrifices. Genesis 8, 20 through 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Folks, that's a promise to all these tree huggers. You can't stop it. It's going to go on. It's going to continue to happen. Verses 21 and 22 are considered the Noahic covenant. God promised that he would never destroy all of life with a flood. Peter tells us that the next time it will be with fire. Now, any of you have questions? We're done early, but any of you have questions about what took place? All of these things that some of you ladies get up on chairs for and scream, make strange noises. If a mouse ran through here tonight, I wonder how many would be up on chairs. You're bigger than a mouse. Folks, were you saying something? Okay. Whatever situation God wants to use you in, he's going to prepare you. He is going to do that. Noah's wife, his son's wives, up to this point, people, none of these things were offensive. None of them hurt anybody because they did not eat each other. They did not eat man. They were friends with all of these animals and all of these critters. Think of the spiders that must have been on that ark. And they had to get there the same way the animals did, up the ramp. Butterflies, moths, they would lay eggs and hatch out worms on the ark during that year's time. They had to have plant life on board the ark that they could eat, and they did. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic time. What God did here was a tremendous miracle to save all of creation on board that one boat. Yes, Linda. Like I was saying, God will prepare you for whatever he wants you to do. When Connie and I went to Texas, if a roach showed up in our house back in Greenville before we went to Texas, if a little teeny bug showed up, You know whose responsibility it was to squash it or get rid of it? Mine. We had been at the camp in Texas probably 6 months when Connie had to bring a message over to a meeting where the board was meeting, the camp board was meeting, board of directors. She came over at night with a flashlight. I had told her, don't just hold the flashlight in front of you, swing it from side to side so you can see what's coming into your path. She stepped over a 6.5-foot rattlesnake to get there that night. She didn't scream. She just stepped over it. I mean, God can prepare you for whatever He needs you to do. He can and He will. We didn't have mice. We had rats. And she helped me catch them. Now, I was in my 60s at this point. And the reflexes weren't what they used to be. I cornered a rat in a closet. It had no way out but the door. I told her, you open the closet door, and when that rat comes out, I'm going to stomp on it, because it was in our house. And they had been chewing in the walls and chewing through cabinets and chewing through drawers. And so she got ready, and I got ready, and we stood there, and I raised my foot. And she jerked the door open, and the rat crossed two rooms before I got my foot to move. Folks, God is not going to put you in a situation He's not going to prepare you for. He prepared Noah and his family for this situation. It was fantastic. I would like for all of you to consider going when we get this set up. Sandra's helping work on it. She's getting information for me right now. But we're going to plan on sometime the second or third week of May, before school gets out, to go on up there and see the Ark. We will spend 2 days up there. We will spend 1 day on the Ark, okay? At the Ark. They have an auditorium where they show films and things of some of the things that were going on at that time. And we can spend a day at the Ark. You can spend 4 to 6 hours walking around the Ark, different levels, seeing what all Noah did and his family did. Then the next day, we will go to the Creation Evidences Museum, a little further north in Kentucky, and we will spend a day there. You will see the Bible as it lives. And you will see the things that you read about in the Bible. And so, dealing with creation and situations, times, people. So you can easily spend 4 to 6 hours there. That's what we're going to plan. At this point, we have no idea of the cost of it, but the church will help. And we would like as many of you to go as you would like to go. Okay? We'll let you,